great, great honor to have our very dear friends Jan and Sarah Nell with us this morning. Jani comes to us by way of South Africa and is now located in Thailand, where he and Sarah are together with their daughter. And Jani has been a friend of ours and our congregation for a number of years now, and a father in the Lord who has poured so much into us. And I'm so excited to have Jan and Sarah with us this morning. They're ministering today, and this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evening, Jani is going to be doing a special teaching series called My Father's House, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday evening, right here at 7 o'clock at harvest time. For those of you that are involved with Equip and in the study of Daniel and the best question ever, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we're going to be meeting in the sanctuary each night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, to have some great teaching from Jan. And I want to encourage you to make every effort to be here with us, because it's going to be a tremendous time together. And I have a wonderful sense that the Lord just has some great surprises in store for our congregation through this week. Jan has come to us all the way from Thailand. He's come at his own expense, and he's come to bring a word from the Lord and a deposit and to bless us. And at the end of our service today, we're going to have an opportunity to make a deposit back into his ministry. But I want you to give your very warmest welcome to our dear friend, Jan Nell.
Good morning. You're the happiest congregation I've ever seen in my life. It's the truth. Have you got a good dentist in this place? Just see teeth wherever I look. It's just fantastic. We come from Africa, and of course in Africa, we have people of all sizes, shapes, colors, and especially our black friends are really black. And Sarah and I were driving to the center of our city the one day, and one of the big vehicles had broken down, and two of the men who were driving it, black folk, were in under the cab working underneath there. And so it was all shadow. And when we came back, you couldn't see, they had black overalls on, and you know, they black, and all of a sudden they looked up and looked at us, and there was just teeth and eyes. You reminded me of that today. Great. It's a pleasure to be here, and this is honestly for me over many, many years, a place of finding refuge, strength, encouragement, real friendship and relationship. And I just want to say, honestly, you guys have always made us feel like we're probably the most special people in town. And I know you do that to everybody. So thank you very, very much. If you've got your Bibles, would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1? I'm speaking to you today about the process of becoming complete in the Lord, and I've got so much that I just have on my heart. God has been dealing with me over over 34 years. Now, that's how long I've been saved, but God, that's not how old I am. I know it looks like it, but God has been dealing with me over 34 years about the whole issue, pretty much, of how we get complete, become equipped, become who He made us to be. From my perspective, I've always believed that Christianity is truly the only way to the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Now, I know that's a common statement, but I truly believe that. I absolutely do. Plus, I believe absolutely that God's power is enough to totally transform me from being who I used to be to who He wants me to be. I absolutely believe that. And so, having said that, I find myself disappointed so often that people fall so far short of what they really could become in the Lord, simply because we often don't understand the process, the whole strategy of God to bring us from one place to another. If you don't understand it, you work against it. If you do not understand what he's trying to do at specific points in your life, you miss the whole concept of how he brings us to completion. And it's his will that we are complete. It's his will that we end up perfect, lacking in nothing. That might be a strange concept to you. Maybe you thought he's happy with you as you are. No, he's not. His plan is to bring you to completion, to bring you to a place of fulfillment. This is our biggest enemy, is that we think we are doing well if we are having some successes. Pastors that see their churches growing slowly are in real danger of thinking they are where they should be. People who are seeing change in children are in real danger of seeing that they are where, thinking that they are where they should be. A little bit of success can rob us from what God ultimately plans for us. Sometimes we aim too low. Last time I was here, I was talking about setting the bar too low. Many of us just live way, way too low from what God plans for us. So I want you to see what the book of Colossians has to say, and let's see what God's plan is for our life. Colossians 1:24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has been revealed, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now that is an outstanding introduction to what I'm going to say, because now he goes on to say, his plan is to bring you, his mystery was to make you understand that you are in Christ. Christ in you is your hope of glory. That's the mystery. Yeah. Then he says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So the point of Christ being in us is for us to be come into a place of perfection. Perfection, please listen to me, simply put, means full maturity. Fully mature, lacking nothing, complete. The word is telios or telos is the root word. It speaks about the fact that you and I literally are the finished product of what God originally intended. We have an English word, telescope, which comes from telos. And so it simply is the fact that when we look at you, we don't see where you are, we see where you're going to be. We don't see what you're battling with at the moment. We don't see your circumstances. We don't see your limitations. We see you complete in Christ. That is the plan. Christ in you, the hope of glory, so that you and I can be, hello, complete. So we're complete in him. Look what it goes on to say. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me. To what end? To seeing you complete. This is the heart of this apostle. He says, I don't want to just see you saved. I don't want to see you just sitting in a church. I don't want to see you just having some changes in your character and the way you treat others. I want to see you complete. Fully equipped for every good work. Ready to do whatever God has for you to do. That you don't fall short on anything. Yeah. I wonder where we are in the measure of that. I wonder where we are in God's plan to bring us to fulfillment, maturity, completeness, perfection. Chapter 2, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you. This is beautiful, that a man would fight for other brothers and sisters. And those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. What a great man. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit. Oh, man. Rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus as the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, listen now, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. You know, folk, I got a phone call last night from a pastor who's had me in his church, and he just wanted to discuss some things. And he said to me, he's got a young man in his church that is doing unbelievably well. This young man is on mission trips around the world, is seeing many lives changed, has an outstanding evangelistic gift, is on the streets, is witnessing for the Lord, is bringing folk into the kingdom, is busy discipling other folk. He's really going for God. He's one of those guys, if we had him in this church, we'd say, man, this is the sort of guy we want to head up our missions, or we want him to be involved in evangelistic training, or we'd put him in a key position. So I'm listening to this pastor, and I'm wondering why he's telling me about this young man that's got such great gifts. And he says this, he said, when you come back to see us, Yanni, I would ask you if you'd be willing to sit with him. So I'm like, what am I going to teach him about evangelism? I mean, I'm not the world's leading evangelist. That's all I can tell you. So he then goes on to say, he says, this man has a problem that we cannot fix. So I said, what is that? He said, well, he has got an unbelievable drive to be involved in sexual perversity. And we've tried everything. We have taken his laptop away from him. We have worked with him. I mean, they're not disciplining him. They're trying to work with him. We've done everything we can, but he eventually finds the numbers of prostitutes. He phones them, and then he phones us and says he's asked them to come over, and he's asked us to come and help him and get him out of it. And then we get him out of it, and he phones them as soon as we're gone, and I meditated a lot on it last night, because I'm thinking, how can we be so amazingly gifted in one hand and yet so incredibly lacking on the other? That is not a picture of completeness. When I talk about completeness to you today, I'm talking about becoming a person that on the two ends of our life, our giftedness and our character, we look like Jesus. I was meditating yesterday on the fruit of the Spirit. And do you know, seriously, as a church, listen to me. The fruit of the Spirit is not a walk in the park. For the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 2:23, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Think about being a person who is always loving. That is no, listen, if you're serious about Christianity, that is the first one. That covers the rest. If you got that one right, the rest flow. Because it doesn't say the fruit plural, the fruit singular of the Spirit. And it names nine. So that first one is the key to the rest. The fruit of the Spirit is love, which flows into joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's your measure, how well you're growing. Are you complete in those? I mean, I know this is beginning Christian stuff, but I have to tell you, the point of this apostle's letter to these people is he's saying, you must understand what this is. Christ has come into you. His life is in you. This is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have Jesus living in you. And so you have to come to the place where His life is coming through you in every little aspect of your dealing with people, your facing of challenges, your feeling of demonic attack. You need to, on every level, have Christ expressing Himself through you by the power of the Spirit. So that you find yourself facing really impossible people. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God knows the right people to put in our path. It's funny. It's amazing. People come to me for counsel often and say to me, how do I handle myself? Because this person is killing me. I feel like I need to move my job. I feel like I need to divorce. I feel like I need to kill something. You know what I mean? We get to that place where it's too much. And actually, the problem isn't the person. The problem is us. Because it's a funny thing. As soon as that person doesn't bug you anymore, God takes them away. And you never see another one like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? I remember I would walk into pubs in the old days. I'm telling you, as the old days, did you hear me? And as I would walk into the pub, there would always be some big deal who wanted to prove how strong he was. I tell you what, it was unbelievable. It was uncanny. I could not duck it, no matter where. Then I became a pastor. I didn't beat it when I was unsaved, by the way. So I got born again. You know, you sort of think this is going to change. I become a pastor. I walk into pastors' meetings. It's like walking into the pubs in the old days. There is always someone there who wants to show you how big he is. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm like at pastors' meetings, it's unbelievable. They get you seated with everyone, and the seat I've got is always next to Dumbo himself. Always. So you sit next to this, forgive me, jerk. And he starts to tell you the size of his church and how big is your church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Tells you the latest miracles and what have you done lately. So he's flexing his muscles and I'm trying to find some. You understand what I'm saying? He knows he has outclassed me. And I want to tell you, these guys, their whole thing is about making you feel small. And one day I realized the problem wasn't them. The problem was me. Because actually, if I did not worry what I looked like and just did what I was called to do, he couldn't touch me. I would be happy with what I'm doing because I'm being obedient and faithful, and that's all that's required.
That's good.
So one day, I get set free. And every time I go to a pastor's meeting, I look for Dumbo, and he's not there. Do you understand? I don't need him anymore. He has helped me to become more like Jesus. Oh, I know this is kindergarten stuff. I do know that. But I want to tell you the aim of the scriptures is to bring you to completion. 2 Timothy 3 from verse 14 onwards says how we knew the holy scriptures from small, Timothy, you knew them. How they were able to make you wise for salvation. And then it goes on to say, I think it's verse 16, he says that you would know the scriptures because they themselves study to show yourself approved, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that you would be complete, lacking in nothing, ready to do every good work. Second thing I want to speak to you about in completion is not just that we need somebody who watches over us. See, Paul was a man that watched over his people and gauged their development process. I want to be straight to you. I honestly believe church has to make an adjustment. This church, I was praying about it this morning. I thought, I'm going to say this, and I wonder how this church matches up. And out of all the churches in the world I visit, this one is furthest I know of in this very area, where the leaders take time to make sure God's people are being equipped. In fact, you've got a course called that. And so the very first thing is that Paul says, I want to see you complete. There should be a process, folk, watching us get to completion. Second point is that we should realize that the scriptures systematically build change into our lives. I want to tell you, without scripture, without the Word of God, you can't change. Without the Word of God, you will never be able to become the person God's planned you to be. Listen to me. The Word has to become flesh in every area of your life. The way you speak, it should be totally controlled by the Word. In James chapter 3, it says, he who's control over his tongue is a perfect man. So that the Word takes a hold over our lives and every area. When we speak, when you see us, when we behave ourselves, our attitude in front of other people, all of it is soaked in the Word of God. We live the Word. I never forget the day I found out that sarcasm was sin. I mean, sarcasm was a part of my whole makeup. I grew up in a very sarcastic environment. I don't know if you understand sarcasm, but sarcasm is a very hurtful thing. It demeans a person. It makes them feel stupid. And so I was an expert at sarcasm. I didn't even have to speak. A person would be talking to me and going, I did this and I did that, and I'd go, sarcastic. Really? You? You've got to be joking. So that whole thing suddenly became a reality to me. And one day I read the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 4, I think it's verse 29, where it says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only that which is for necessary edification, so it might build up the hearer according to his need. I tell you, that word grabbed me for weeks, months. I realized that my words carried a cut in them. And I did not help people, I hurt people. I would be nice in one breath, and then they would do something that I found funny, and I'd cut them with the other breath. So even as a pastor, I found myself having a dig at people. Just, you know, type approach. Like, you know, you are less than average up here. What was that for? I don't know. I don't know. I think it was part of that whole insecurity that I lived in. The need to be bigger. The need to prove myself. And so many of us find ourselves in a place where so much is wrong and we've eventually settled down to it. And we know when to be bad and we know when to be good. Do you understand me? So you know when you're at church, you've got to put on the church face and the church speech and the church attitude. Seriously? You're not complete if it doesn't filter into every area of your life. When they stab you, what flows out has got to be love. What flows out of you has got to be gentleness. What flows out of you has got to be kindness. It's got to be there. It's got to be joy. It's got to be peace. Because those are the result of Christ in us. Listen, please hear me. The end of your Christianity is not about you becoming prosperous. It's not about you having a great ministry. It's about you becoming complete.
That's good.
You've got to become complete. There is no point in the pastoral staff of this church becoming experts in the realm of ministry and church growth and church leadership. But when you find them in homes, they are not who you thought they were. And thank God, I know them each in their homes. I haven't been to Pastor Krista's home. I've been to Pastor Nick and Pastor Glenn's home. I know who they are at home. I've seen them with their wives and children. Thank God you've got men of stature in this place. Men who live the life, not only in the church, but out. I'm a little nervous about Pastor Glenn's driving. That's about the only area that gets me. I remember I first arrived here. You must understand, I arrived here as a little visitor from South Africa. South Africa compared to America is overwhelming. Do you understand? He says to me, I have a hired car. He's someplace. It was this church. And we were driving to somewhere over there. Oh, Porchester Diner. And he says, just follow me. Those sound very simple words. Just follow me. I want to tell you, I knew when he pulled out of this driveway, this guy was serious about getting to Porchester Diner. I hit, is it 287? I think I broadslided onto 287 or whatever it was. This guy was gone. He's in between traffic and I'm trying to, it's like, At one point, I thought, I wonder if he got a phone call and there's an emergency. It was incredible. I mean, I classed myself as a fairly competent driver. But man, I fayed with this guy. So I realized, thank God he has got one area that's not perfect yet. It just makes me feel better. How many play? No, I'm not playing about the ride. I'm playing about the perfection part. So God's plan, guys, is to bring us to completion. So not only does God send us people that bring us to completion, that focus on our completion. That's why I think it's critical to be in a church that cares. I think it's critical to be in a church that knows who you are. That watches your development, tracks your development, because our job is to bring you to maturity. Paul says, man, I am praying about you all the time. I'm thinking about you all the time. I want to make sure that you are complete, not only in your character, but in your gifts, that you are functioning for the Lord. You're powerful in the Lord. I'm watching you. Second thing is, he says, make sure that the Word is built into your life, because the Word is going to make you perfect. Guys, if you don't know what you're doing with kids, find the answer in the Bible. If you don't know what you're doing with finances, find the answer in the Bible. You do not need to go for counseling every 5 minutes. Go to the Bible, it's better. Oh, you didn't catch that one, did you? Listen to me. Throughout my Christian life, I can count on one hand the amount of times I've gone for counseling. I don't need counseling. I need the Word and the power of the Spirit. If I will do the perspiration to get changed, I will study the word diligently on the areas I'm weak. God will give me revelation, which will bring me a manifestation and then a transformation. I must study God's word. And I tell you, you cannot play with the word anymore. I'm going to deal with some of those things just now. Is that my countdown clock over there? Okay, I just want to check. That's fine, we're on time. I don't want to be caught short. The third point in this whole area of being made complete, you'll find in James chapter 1 from verse 2, it says, count it all joy, brethren, when you face various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and endurance, when it's had its full way, will make you what? Complete, perfect, lacking in nothing. So quite clearly, not only do we need people who are monitoring our growth, second, we need to make sure that we are systematically working through the word on every area of our life that we know there is weakness. Not as directed by some other Christian, but as directed by the Holy Spirit. There is no greater expert on being delivered from somebody, from something, than somebody who's just been delivered. They walk up to you, let's say they've battled with smoking for 20 years. The moment they are delivered from smoking, they walk up to you and they say to you, you need to get free of that smoke, forgetting that it took them 20 years or whatever it is. So we don't need to be directed from others as to when to change. We need to be directed by the Holy Spirit. He's faithful to put his finger on the areas where we're weak. Where are you weak? Where are you weak? I found I've got some work to do in the realm of anger. It's sort of showed its head in my life again. Where are you weak? The way I knew I was struggling a little bit with anger, somebody in Thailand nearly bumped my wife with their vehicle. We were walking and they came past with a big Suburban sort of vehicle. They nearly bumped my wife and just carried on. It was like this. And I hit the top of his Suburban with my hand, hoping he'd get out. So I realized I was struggling. Something was wrong. And I had to deal with that again. Has to be checked. What is there? Why am I doing this? Because I've lost ground where I used to have ground. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is not a game. You can't give ground away. You've got to keep gaining ground. You've got to keep pushing forward. You've got to keep changing. Christ in me, the hope of glory. His power is working through me all the time. And the last point, of course, is this thing of count it all joy when you face various trials. Do you know God tailor makes your tests? God tailor makes your pain. I know this is not a popular subject. Let me tell you, God knows exactly what pressure to put us through to make us who we're supposed to be. I'm going to say that again because I don't think anybody caught that. God knows exactly the type of trouble to bring to your home, to your address, to make you and I become who we're supposed to be. Folk, listen to me. Check your life. The last time you went through the darkest time is the time you grew the most. Growth does not naturally come from good times. Growth does not naturally come from no pressure. Growth comes from pressure. And all of us dream about the day that we're going to sit on a cloud with a little harp and there's no more problems. Listen to me. That is not the way it works. I have to tell you, okay, what I'm going to say could be a little hurtful, but just listen to this. What our parents never fixed us in, the Holy Spirit has to do it. Do you understand? So where your parents just went, oh, isn't she cute? When you throw a tantrum, the Holy Spirit one day is going to peg you. when you got your way because, oh, she's so beautiful. And she just bats her eyes and daddy jumps and you know what I'm saying? That place, one day we're going to stand in a place of ministry or a place of being responsible and God's going to pick us and say, that has to change. What our parents never dealt with. At 14 years old, I was out on the streets partying, fighting, drinking, doing my thing. My parents never stopped me. It made me a young man that felt I could do what I want when I want. Do you understand me? That had to be dealt with somewhere. God arranged the day, the years, the place, and the method. And over years, I felt like I was getting my lights punched out. Do you understand? No matter what I did, God put me in a corner. Wham! Eventually, something in me that was that wild horse died. And he could go. Do you understand? Before he'd get on, it was. He went, and I'd go wilder. So he went, okay, we've got to break this boy. And breaking comes through pain. To this one will I turn, says the Lord. He who has a broken spirit and a contrite heart and who trembles at my word. This is the one I look to. What does God have to do to bring you and I to a place where we don't look at our Bibles and go, someday. When we look at that, we go, this is my source of life on this earth. Without it, I'm lost. Who trembles at my word. When you open the word and it reads you. You don't read the word, it reads you. When you're reading it, it starts to peg you and say, change that. And you feel the need to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love the Thai culture. The Thai culture is so beautiful, Glenn. You know that if you are a man of higher position than me, and I walk past you, I don't walk past you like this, walking out to the toilet. I cannot do that. If I walk past you and you're a man of higher position or older, I walk past you like this. I recognize your position. And I think it's a thing we've lost in the Western world, that we have to honor where honor is due. And especially when the King of Kings stands in front of us, we need to bow. Our hearts need to know who we're dealing with. This is God. Sarah, when she talks to me, she says, my country has a king, but I serve the King of Kings. She understands that. I don't understand it. I've never been under a king in my life. She has. Do you know the king in her country, if you approach him, admirals, generals, they come on their knees to the king. You cannot be higher than the king. You cannot do that. You're looking for major trouble if you want to do that. And so we've lost this as to who we're serving. Something in us has to be broken so that we become complete. So when he says, Jan, turn, I turn. When he says, stop, I stop. When he says, minister, I minister. Do you understand? We've got to come to a place of completion that in every area of our life, especially character, we are changed. I want to just give you a few things that will transform your ability to be complete. Some things you have to break before God can complete you. Number one, You need to break the curses that rob your life. A few Sundays ago, I spoke in a church and I dealt with, actually a Friday night, I dealt with a whole pile of curses that attack us as churches and as individuals. And let me just tell you this, a curse is something that is quite clearly supernatural that robs you of life and blessing. A curse is simply the removal of blessing in an area in your life. No matter what you try, you cannot get fruit. You cannot get blessing. You cannot get prosperity. No matter what you try. It's an indication. It's not a guarantee. It's an indication that there might be a curse. So for instance, if you find every time you get a job, you last for a few months, you lose it. You go and get another job, you lose it. You lose jobs, you lose jobs, you lose jobs. There's no reason why you should. You're a good person, you're an organized person, you're an intelligent person, and you keep losing your job. If there's nothing wrong with you, it's probably a curse. And so curses need to be dealt with. You need to break curses in your life. Second thing that we need to deal with and break is we need to break lies that control how we work. Every stage of our Christian life, the enemy's trying to establish a lie in us that stops us from functioning the way we should. It especially comes through relationships. People hurt us, people upset us, people abuse us, and we then make statements something like this: I will never again trust, or I will never again get involved in, or I will, you know what I mean? That area shows you've got a controlling lie. That lie is dominating your life, and you have got to work on it. If you have built yourself into a little cage, if you are keeping yourself from breaking out and doing great things, I'm telling you, you have to deal with the lie that controls your mind. Because the enemy has got you trapped so that you actually believe that certain people will hurt you, certain circumstances are dangerous to enter into. I'm not talking about losing your wisdom. I'm talking about being dominated by something that came out of a hurt. And you need to break that so that you can get back into the place you should be. Every lie the enemy establishes is strategic in keeping you from your ministry and your calling. So you join a church, you've been hurt in a church, you join this church, you sit down, you go, you know what? I'll sit here, I'll smile, I'll sing, but don't dare ask me to do anything. I will never commit myself to a church at the level I did before. It's finished. You do that, you're sunk. You got a lie that's controlling you. You need to break it. Amen? Amen. Just want to check you out there, right? Break the cycle of being average. Break the cycle of being average. So many people have settled for just where they are. Are you happy with the way your life runs? Are you planning on growing and breaking new barriers? See, so many people just absolutely live in a realm of comfort. Go to church. Come home. It's predictable. Everything's predictable. You need a plan to be bigger next year. No, next month. No, tomorrow than you are today. You've got to plan for greatness. Personally, I'm planning all the time to have greater impact than I ever had before.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm not settling for just being a... Listen, I could settle down, probably more than anybody in this room, I could settle down now. It's the truth. We travel the world, we've touched many nations, we've touched hundreds of churches, hundreds of leaders, thousands of people, so many healed, so many delivered, so many grow in the kingdom into great ministers. I could retire. I want to tell you, until the day I die, I'm aiming to become everything that He's planned me to be. Each year, each week, a new accomplishment. Push further, push higher, no more, do more. So that when I stand in front of Him, I don't find out that actually I stopped here on my plan of development. You understand? I want to make sure I'm fully complete. By the time he says, come home, son, that's when I have finished the course, run the race, kept the faith, fought the good fight. I've done the job. You understand? You need to keep pressing for higher heights. Zero. Okay. Then you've got to break the limits over your life. Increase your capacity. Break the limits over your life. What holds you back? Simply said, I have to tell you this. Many of us are putting our time and energy into the wrong things. So you need to look at your life. What in your life that you're doing is not producing fruit? Is not setting you up for success in the future? What do you do? I found myself going through a period of time in my Christian walk where I think I was in a bit of a depression type, down in the dumps thing. And I found myself sitting playing games on the computer for hours. I had a bit of a gap, and my relaxing time was playing game on the computer. Now, there's nothing wrong with playing games on a computer. But when it goes into hours, there's something drastically wrong. Because I need to ask myself, am I using my time and my energy to the best effect? You see, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says this. Says, redeeming the time. Buy back the time. You make the most use of time. Because the days are evil. Guys, the time that we're not using wisely. I'm not talking about never having a break. Have good breaks. Have good rest. Have good time with friends. But don't waste time on stuff that never produces. You've got one life to live. I tell you this every time I'm here. Live it to the best of your ability. And so in the name of Jesus, I want to pray over you today. That you as a group of people will realize God's plan in your life is not to make you good at a gift. Not to make you an outstanding minister. God's plan in your life is to make you complete. Lacking nothing. So won't you just stand with me right now and just lift your hands towards the Lord. Just take a moment to do some contemplation. And just simply say, Lord, what is it in my life that needs adjusting? What have I not taken notice of? Am I submitting to your training? Have I got somebody over me that's forming me? Lord, have I systematically looked into your word for every aspect of my life? Am I in a place where, Lord, I'm using the time wisely? I'm getting rid of things that limit me and keep me back. You are God's workmanship. He's got great things for you to do. Don't settle for too little. In the name of Jesus, I pray over this fellowship, Father, that there would be a fresh fire in everyone's life this morning. I thank you for the great things you've done. I thank you for the wonderful work in every life. I want to thank you, Lord, that this is an excellent congregation. But Lord, I know no one wants to settle. I want to press on for greater things. So I pray for people today that have been hurt, that have received lies and now are living in bondage. Lord, I pray that you set them free. Set them free from past lies regarding church, pastors, leaders. Touch them, Lord, by the Spirit. I pray in the name of Jesus for each one in this room that has been put under a curse in one way or another. If that's you, listen to me. I believe in a moment of time, God can nullify that curse spoken over you. If you today are struggling with what you know is something working against you and you can do nothing about it, why don't you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to declare over your people that they are not called to live a life of bondage, but a life of deliverance and breakthrough. I ask now that everyone raising their hand found in a place of limitation, Lord, in Jesus' name, we renounce that curse. We want to pray that, Lord, you would forgive those that have brought this into their life. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, a release of blessing. I want to pray, Lord, that you would cause them to have a revelation of the promises which are theirs in Jesus' name. And I pray now, Lord, if it's work-related, turn it around. If it's relationally related, turn it around in Jesus' name. If it's prosperity related, turn it around, Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, send just a wave of your Spirit over their homes. I speak peace into their situations. And I want to thank you for your great love for each one. Be blessed and grow. Church, grow to all you were made to be in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus.